Show has become very, very silly.
This show should not be on the air.
But it is.
What the hell are we doing on this show?
This show is the straw that broke the camel's back.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And it is time for the Drex Radio Show late night, late show wrap up. But, oh, excuse me, first, a word from our sponsor.
I'll never be able to write my name while going outside in the snow. I won't ever be a real man. I'll never wear compression shorts to show off my physique. I'll never shower with the guys after a pickup basketball game. And I won't ever get married. And for sure, I'll never trim the bushes around the house again, naked, because I accidentally cut off my p***.
At Black & Decker, we believe in protecting what matters most, your p***. With new advanced safety guards on every cordless yard trimmer, together, we can make safe happen.
Oh, thank you. In honor of Nationwide's depressing Super Bowl commercial. All right, so a couple things here that are still rolling out from the Super Bowl fallout, we'll call it, with the showbiz drama and such. It just continues. Love this one. NFL Hall of Famer Warren Sapp was arrested for assaulting a prostitute. Well, I mean, I don't love it, but did that guy who I can't stand him, Sheriff Joe Arpaio of Maricopa County, did he not make it perfectly clear that he was going to have decoys everywhere, busting everybody for prostitution charges? He made it abundantly clear. He set out to make his goal to put everybody in the tents in the middle of the desert in their pink little outfits for the rest of their lives, let them melt for hiring a hoe. And Warren Sapp fell right into it. So NFL Hall of Famer Dancing with the Stars runner-up Warren Sapp was arrested yesterday morning in Phoenix and charged with soliciting a prostitute and assault. I'm not sure what the assault part is. He was in town to cover the Super Bowl for the NFL Network, but after his arrest, they fired him. And things aren't looking good. And he was down there. And according to police, he allegedly assaulted two women working as prostitutes in a hotel room after an argument about money. So I don't know if it was Arpaio's plant. Probably not. But, there were a lot of arrests. But I don't know how you missed it. If you went down there, that's the last place you sure as hell don't want to get in trouble. Sapp told investigators he paid one of the hookers for sex, but he denied any assault. Supposedly, the investigators saw minor injuries on one of the women that were consistent with a struggle. I don't know. Maybe they were having the 50 Shades of Warren up there. We'll find out. But then, nonetheless, other Super Bowl fallout. Katy Perry's sharks have been identified, and one of them is the reason she's feuding with Taylor Swift. Don't you love that? On Monday, there was a big debate over whether the Seahawks should have gone, with the pass play from the one-yard line. But there was an even bigger debate over who was cooler, left shark or right shark. Now, of course, we're talking about the two dancing shark who stole Katy Perry's halftime show. Right shark was the one who actually knew what he was doing, but left shark has gained quite a following for losing the choreography and just hilariously just winging it out there. Both sharks have now been identified, and there are two of Katy's backup dancers. Left shark's name is Brian Gall, and Katy's choreographer claims that he actually nailed it. He said the shark's job was to, quote, have loads of fun and to bring life to these characters in a cartoon manner, giving them a Tweedledee, Tweedledum type persona, whatever the hell that is. The more competent right shark, Scott Merrick, and there's an interesting story there because he's actually the reason that Katy is fusing, this feud apparently is going on with Taylor Swift. As you might recall, their beef started, if you didn't know this, when Katy poached some dancers from Taylor's tour. Scott was one of those dancers. And speaking of this Katy Taylor alleged blowout, some people think Katy fired a shot at Taylor Swift, with some of her female backup dancers. You notice they were wearing the waist, high-waisted polka dot bikinis, like the one Taylor's been seen wearing. Was that on purpose? I don't know. But it was a lot of fun now, wasn't it? And I didn't even know this feud was going on. And I think that's even greater. And I love Katy Perry's halftime show. I have to say this. A lot of people, when they announced it was Katy Perry, Katy Taylor. Boy, there you go. Katy Perry. They were thinking, this is not going to be so great. And I was kind of wondering myself, you know, is it going to be silly? Is it going to be phony? It was over the top, but I thought she did a fantastic job. I don't know about you, but I dug it. You know, I thought it was very cool. And, of course, Missy Elliott coming out there, that really blew everybody's mind. I really think so. And, by the way, Missy Elliott got the biggest bump from the Super Bowl halftime show. Her streams on Spotify jumped by 676%. Lenny Kravitz got a 103% bump, and Katy Perry's activity actually went up 85%. And it's also estimated that Missy's catalog, who doesn't want to flip it and reverse it? That was so much fun, wasn't it? I mean, it brought back memories. Where do these people go? Where do these songs go? And this is what Top 40 Radio is missing. You know, these great songs that were, they just fade away, and you never hear them again. You know, Missy's catalog could see a 1,000% increase in sales, which is funny because a lot of younger viewers didn't even know who the hell she was. And Missy's fine with that. She tweeted, quote, "I think it's cool that new kids think that I'm a new artist. That goes to show you that I'm still on fire and will rip down stages 20 years later." And by the way, Katy Perry got a Super Bowl 49 tattooed on her finger to commemorate her participation in Super Bowl 49. And she also hung out with her ex, John Mayer, yikes, at an after party, if anybody cares. Some random things here. 14 years after they did the halftime show together, Britney Spears and Steven Tyler met up at the big game. Wow. I mean, that's how much time flies. That was 14 years ago when Britney and Steven Tyler were up there on stage during the halftime show. And also, is it really that controversial that Nissan used Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin for their ad when Harry died in a car accident? I mean, it happened more than 30 years ago. Still too soon? If you look at Twitter and the Twitter feeds, a lot of people think so. Motley Crue bassist Nikki Sixx had promised to play a song naked if the Patriots beat the Seahawks. It looks like guitarist Mick Mars is holding him to it. I don't think we want to see that. You know, at least Lenny Kravitz's daughter, Zoe, had a sense of humor about Katy Perry grinding on her dad. And by the way, someone vandalized the Wikipedia page of the Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator, saying he was responsible for, quote, "the most horrendous play call in all of Super Bowl history." But for the record, head coach Pete Carroll took the blame for the call, and he was all over the news today. Just, you know, I don't know. Why didn't you throw it? Why did you throw it? Why did you do it? When you could have just handed it to Marshawn, right? Okay, so it is the Trex Radio Show, the late night, late show wrap-up, and we're going to continue with the wrap-up in just a minute. On the Trex Radio Show.
Motorcycle presents Gum. The voices in his head may not be real, but they have some really good ideas. The Trex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Good evening. We're back. It is the late night, late show wrap up 918 now on the Trex Radio Show on KGO 810. And excuse me, we'll take this quick break and I'll be right back. Hang on.
And now it's time for another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
Groundhog Day again? It's 2015 and we're allowing a rodent to be the prognosticator of meteorological trends for the next 6 weeks. I wish Groundhog Day was actually like the movie and we could all have a chance to live the same day over and over until we learn enough about ourselves to evolve. Wait, every day is exactly the same for me. I get up, shower, go to work, eat lunch with Ivy from H&R, finish the day, go home, watch reality TV, or go on a bad date, go to bed, and start all over. But I haven't evolved at all. As a matter of fact, I think I might be getting dumber. What have I learned in the last 5 years? I'm not even any better at my job. I'm just doing enough to get by. Well, today that ends. Today, I start becoming better at being me. I'm going to learn a language and an instrument. I'm going to impress my boss. I am going to have a margarita at lunch. Oh, how did that slip in there? That is exactly the kind of evolving I'm going to start with.
Ivy, lunchtime.
And that was another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
Oh, well, you know, I'm with her with the Punk's 20 Phil stuff. And I guess we need 6 more weeks of winter. And I hope coming from Chicago, the great city of Chicago, that I bring you lots of precipitation. I know that we sorely need it here. I think my friends in Chicago have certainly had enough already. Although it was a mild December in Chicago when I left, the beginning of January even, they've got, I don't know, they're up to their bum in snow. Anyway, it looks like rain is on the way. And yesterday was Groundhog Day over in Pennsylvania. Punk's 20, Phil saw a shadow. So that does mean 6 more weeks of winter. And now Phil is the most famous groundhog, but there's lots of other groundhogs around the country who make predictions every year on Groundhog's Day, which they shouldn't. I'm a Pennsylvania native. I just think Punk's 20's it. And they never get any really national media attention. None of the other ones do. So it seems that they've turned desperate. So I love this. Jimmy the Groundhog has been making predictions in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin for 67 years. Now, I've never even heard about it. I don't think anybody's ever talked about him till now. Because yesterday, when he made his prediction, the groundhog attacked the mayor. It was awesome. The mayor, John Frund, was holding Jimmy up to his ear to listen, because he wasn't looking to see whether the damn groundhog was seeing a shadow or not. He was listening for a prediction, and Jimmy suddenly went rogue and almost bit his ear off. It's just awesome. The mayor handled it like a pro, though, and got through his speech. Jimmy did not see his shadow, so for the people in Wisconsin, it will be in early spring, if you want to believe that. Speaking of biting, how about last night? Oh, my God. Here's the thing with my other half. If she's watching The Bachelor, I'm gone. I'm sorry. Sorry, ladies. I know that the other ladies in the control booth over here are loving The Bachelor. And I don't know. I just... The scenery's great, but... It's too much. So I switched to Celebrity Apprentice, and I'm glad I did last night, because last night on Celebrity Apprentice, all hell broke loose, and I just loved it. Vivica A, Vivica A. Fox, and this got crazy, accused Kenya Moore from Real Housewives of Atlanta, I think, of stealing her phone and tweeting on Vivica's account that she was menopausal. Kenya said she didn't do it, but Vivica said she didn't tweet the message. So, who did?
Do you really believe that she would tweet, "I'm acting a damn fool. This menopause is killing me"?
Well, you know what we've seen. Like, we've seen. Listen, I don't know. All I know is that you asked me, was it there? And
you have her phone?
No, did
you? Seriously.
Mr. Trump.
No big deal. Do you have her phone?
No, Mr. Trump. No, Mr. Trump.
I think it is
that's
a very big
actually
deal.
Actually,
yes, it
ridiculous.
Is. And isn't that just off the ironic? But
that's
she's like
ridiculous.
30.
Kenya, did you steal her phone by any chance and maybe tweet that out yourself? I've seen a lot of things. I don't think I've ever seen that one before. We've really reached a new low.
That's yeah. just the kind of
I
person
don't appreciate
she is.
That.
Maybe I'm calling you like I see.
You're, I don't
that
feel
that makes
like
Amorosa look like an angel.
Yes.
yeah. I mean, they really got down and dirty. So who got canned?
Kenya, I put you over here to help the team. Number one. Number two, you lost because of your creativity. It didn't work. The executives didn't like your idea. You know that, right?
Yes, Mr.
Kenya, Trump. You're fired. Go. Thank you.
Mr. Trump, may I say something?
Yes.
First of all, I want to thank you for this opportunity. You have been nothing but kind and gracious to me. Your sons are amazing. Your family is amazing.
Thank you, Kenya.
Thank you very much. And thank Vivica, you. I wish you all the luck in the world, and I certainly do not go...
I could care less. Bounce.
Well, thank you very
thank
much.
You, Mr.
Appreciate
Trump.
It.
Trick.
Thank you, Kenya.
Hey, Kenya.
Whoops. She stole my phone.
It's possible.
She did.
She did. But word is today that, there were so many interns around and the phones were all laying around that she probably didn't. But he was on a firing spree last night.
You said your jingle was better than Brandy's.
I did not say
Dan
that.
Ziering.
Eric, am I right or am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Johnny Damon.
See? Good son.
And Brandy.
friend.
And all night long, you're sort of critical of them. And then you come up with the jingle, this masterpiece that you kept talking about, that you can't use because it's really a copy of another jingle. Ian, you're fired.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you. Good job. Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you.
Sit down. As project manager, should I fire you? What about Johnny?
I can't say anything bad about Johnny.
I want to stay here. I want to win.
But you wrote the jingle.
Yes, sir.
Johnny, you're fired.
Whoa!
Brandy? So you're project manager. Brandy, you're fired.
You're fired. It was a triple last night. And then, of course, like I said, you know, Sharon's got to sit in the other room because she has to watch The Bachelor, and I just can't swallow that pill. But Jimmy Kimmel, from Jimmy Kimmel Show, played shows. I will play it for you. The Bachelor clip with the woman thinking that New Mexico is another country.
One of the things The Bachelor is famous for is the exotic places they visit. They've been to Switzerland, Thailand, New Zealand, but so far this season, they've been Iowa and New Mexico. And no one was more excited about seeing New Mexico than a young lady named Megan.
I've never been to Santa Fe. I've never been to New Mexico, but I hear it's beautiful. It's like a beach resort place. I think that New Mexico is definitely going to be a culture shock from what I'm used to. You know, the hats, sombreros that everyone wears in Mexico. I don't know if they wear that in New Mexico. So excited. I've never been out of the country.
Oh,
still haven't.
Well, maybe I should have been watching The Bachelor last night. I don't know. She needs to move her ass over to Sedona and All right, more of the Trex Radio Show and the Late Night Late Show wrap-up coming up on KGO 810. Thank you, John. It is exactly 9:36 now on the Drex Radio Show. Good evening. It is the late night, late show wrap-up. And, John, let me see if I can find the temperature. Well, it's 28 in Chicago and snowing, so we don't want that one. Let me see here. It's 61 degrees on the Drex Radio Show. Okay, before we move on any further, it's time for my friend, comedian Alagon Mitra, to take it away for a second with some more football fallout.
We had a gay football player come out recently. Apparently, he sat his college team down, told them he was gay, and they didn't tell anybody, which is fascinating. Because very similar, when I was in college, the football team sat me down and told me I was gay. And then told everybody. Very similar. People say figure skating is the gayest sport, but I think it's football. Think about it. You have these like muscular men in tights trying to get on top of one dude and this other group that's like, no, stop, he's ours. You do something wrong, a man trots out and throws out a colored flag, blows a whistle, holding. That's the gayest penalty. No, Tom, you can't hold on to him. You gotta let him go. He's chasing after another man.
Yeah, thank you very much. That would be Gronkowski. That would be my bet.
He's going for the sack.
Uh-huh. All right. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show and the Late Night Late Show wrap-up. David Letterman last night on the Patriots winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, by the way, I heard this backstage. The Seattle Seahawks are changing their name to Redskins. How about that Super Bowl, though, ladies and gentlemen? Wasn't that crazy, the Super Bowl? Bad day for the Seahawks, though. Bad day for the Seahawks fans. I mean, if you're a Seahawk fan, that game was more depressing than that nationwide insurance commercial. I feel bad for Pete Carroll. That last play call was the worst decision coming out of Arizona since John McCain chose a running mate. Katy Perry could have run it in for a touchdown.
Amen, amen. And I have to tell you, you know, I'm just going to miss Dave so much. It's hard to think that David Letterman's not going to be doing The Late Show much longer. But moving on, one of the funny things last night, if you were up, and this is why we do the late night Late Show wrap up, is because a lot of times you're in bed by the time Seth Meyers rolls around. He talks about the Patriots winning the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl last evening, the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks both defeated the Seattle Seahawks. It really was an incredible game, and even though the Patriots won, you've really got to hand it to Marshawn Lynch. You've really got to hand it. You have to hand it to Marshawn Lynch. Don't think about it, just hand it to Marshawn Lynch.
And I was thinking, about how upset everybody in Seattle was. Probably not that much because they were probably all stoned. Don't you think so? I mean, it's like, oh, okay, chill out, Seth Meyers being named the MVP of the Super Bowl, huh?
That's pretty cool. Tom Brady was named Super Bowl MVP and was given a new Chevy truck last night. Yeah. Brady says the truck handles great, especially after he lets some air out of the tires.
All right, so let's get to some nonsense here. Before you interrupt a conversation, you should look at people's feet. That's right. 9:40 now on the Drex Radio Show and the Late Night Late Show wrap-up. Here's why. This could help the next time you need to talk to your boss or somebody important, or you're nervous about going up to someone at a bar or whatever. When you're walking up to two people in the middle of a conversation, here's a little trick to figure out if it's okay to interrupt. Look at which way their feet are pointing. I'm serious now. According to a body language Drexpert, if they see you and they turn their entire body so their feet are pointed at you, it means the conversation probably isn't that important and it's okay to join in. But if they only turn their head or their upper body with their feet still pointed at each other, it means that they're fully engaged in conversation and it's probably something important. In that case, it's best to get the hell out of there and talk to them later because you're nosing in. This is according to Lifehacker. You got to believe it. Well, I'm trying to figure out if this is true. 5 ways that Facebook ruins your life. Now, Facebook is one hell of a drug, and we keep going back for more, don't we? Even though we know how bad it is for us. Check out a list of 5 little ways Facebook has ruined your life, possibly, if you allowed it to. This is from Mashable. No one, and this is true, no one sends you birthday cards anymore, except Mom. Mom just still does. They just post it on your wall. People make big announcements with their status updates, so you find out, important news from your friends at the same time as everyone else who's less important in their life. That one's really true. And you realize other people have cooler lives than you and you seem pretty boring in comparison. Books and movies and TV shows are constantly getting spoiled for you if you allow yourself to do that. And you get it shoved in your face when somebody had a party and they didn't invite you. That's if you're looking all the time. Are you looking? Let's be listening, because I love this from The Tonight Show last night. Brian Williams edited to sing Snoop Dogg's What's My Name. This is pretty awesome.
Brian Williams. From the depths of the sea back to the Glock, Snoop Doggy Doggy, as the doc went solo on that. But it's still the same. Long Beach is the spot where I serve McCain. Following, but don't lose your grip. 9 trusses is easier for me to fuck. So I am holding nothing back. And mother, I got 5 on the 20th sack. Now just throw your hands in the mother air and wave the mother like you just don't care. Yeah, roll up the dank and pour the drink and watch you step. Why? The doggy on the gang. Playing that G thing. She want the with the biggest nuts. And guess what? He is dying, Diane him, slim with the tilted grin. What's my other name?
Jimmy Fallon has just nailed that stuff. I'm always a little skittish with the monologue, but when it gets into the show, man, he just nails it, doesn't he? And here he is, Jimmy Fallon's doing the Tonight Show in Los Angeles this week. He changed the lyrics of the theme song from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air to make it the Fresh Host of the Tonight Show. And DJ Jazzy Jeff, who starred in the Fresh Prince, had cameos in the video. And is this from the Tonight Show last night? I love these bits that he does.
Tonight you're back out to L.A. In Rockefeller Center, NYC, in the legendary studio they call 6B, chilling out, hosting the show with my crew, I mean Quest and Tariq and the rest of the room, when a couple of guys who were sick of the coke said that maybe I should take the show on the road. Higgins packed up my bags, cause we're leaving today. He said it's time to take the Tonight Show to sunny LA. I whistled for a cab, and when it came near, the license plate said Post and Jazzy Jeff was in there. The studio's 3,000 miles away, but I thought, nah, forget it, your home's to LA. I pulled up to the park about 7 or 8, and I yelled out to Jazzy, city said today is the day we bring the Tonight Show from New York to LA.
Nails it. All right, Mr. Fallon, thank you very much. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. We'll be right back in a minute.
On KGO 810.
Drex Radio Show. Good evening, everybody. It is 9:48. Thank you for joining me. I'm here every night, and we love doing the late night, late show wrap up. This is really kind of creepy and scary. So there's a documentary about a man who had a year-long affair with a dolphin. What? And then there's a female trainer talks about a male dolphin. Apparently these people who work with dolphins, they love the dolphins, and then sometimes they love the dolphins. Yikes. Uh-huh. That's why we save it for the 9 o'clock hour. There's a documentary that is coming out. It's called Dolphin Lover, about a guy who had a year-long affair with a dolphin. I'm not lying. At a Florida theme park. It all happens in Florida, doesn't it? Where he was working as a photographer. He claims she came to him. Now, this isn't an isolated occurrence. Last year, there was a documentary on the BBC called The Girl Who Talked to Dolphins, about a male dolphin who used to get, let me see here, urges, we'll use, with a female trainer in the 60s. And her solution to relieve those urges, manually, I could say, so they could get on with the training. Yes, I mean, this interspecies sexual thing, what, I'm not sure, but anyway, listen to this.
It was very precious. It was very gentle. Peter was right there. He knew that I was right there. Again, it was sexual on his part. It was not sexual on mine. Sensuous, perhaps. It would just become part of what was going on, like an itch. Just get rid of that. We'll scratch it and we'll be done. Move on. And that's really all it was. I was there to get to know Peter. That was part of Peter.
Wow. That's really scary. That's as scary as the cut I'm going to play you now from the internet pastor who preaches that Justin Bieber convinces girls to remove their breasts in their privates. You know, I have to tell you, this is as crazy as that is. Now, you know, this guy is convinced that pop culture and people like Justin Bieber, I mean, this is all about hell and damnation. We're all going to hell because we live in a pop culture society. And it's gotten to a point where it's out of control. And this is just way over the top.
And we're talking about young girls in the age from 6 to 10 years of age. They can be led or influenced to cut off their breasts what? Once they get into puberty. They can be led to have operations. Like Justin Bieber, they can think that the best choice for their life is to cut off their breasts. and go through this period that's so pervasive in television and everywhere else. And then by the time they reach the age of 20 years old, they look and say, I wish I had never cut off my breast. I wish I'd never cut off my penis. I was just young. And the people in the church or the people in the media said or gave the impression that I had a right to choose any kind of sexual orientation that I wanted to choose. I would chase every sodomite. I would chase every lesbo with the power of God, that these children be not misled by people in congregations and people in business or in politics like Obama that are influencing these children to throw their lives away the way Justin Bieber threw his life away, and then 20 years old can't grow their breasts back. At 20 years old can't grow their penis back. People need to wake the hell up and see what's going on in our world.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So stay away from the media. That's a little way over the top, I would say. And what is going on with Justin Bieber anyway? You know, he made that appearance. Done with that nutcase. What is going on with Justin Bieber? With, you know, he went on the Ellen show and he acted a little coy, but I didn't think it was a big deal. But then he put out this whole confession that's gone viral, trying to explain his weirdness. Let's play some of that.
So I just wanted to make a video because I wanted to express how I feel right now. So today I was on Ellen, and it was a lot of fun. She's amazing. It was her birthday. Happy birthday, Ellen. But I was really nervous, and I think I was nervous because I was afraid of what people are thinking about me right now. It's been a minute since I've been on a public appearance, and I didn't want to come off arrogant or conceited, or basically how I've been acting the past year and a half. And I was, I'm not who I was pretending to be. And why I say pretending is often we pretend to be something we're not as a cover-up of what we're truly feeling inside. And there was a lot of feelings going on in there. Just being young and growing up in this business is hard. It's growing up in general is hard. But yeah, I felt awkward up there. I felt like people were judging me. And I really want people to know how much I care about people, and how I'm not that person to say I don't give a f***, you know? I'm not that kid. I'm the person who genuinely cares, and although what's happened in the past has happened, I just want to make the best impression on people and be kind and loving and gentle and soft, and although people can call me a softy,
I don't think they'll call me that. Just don't egg my house, dude. He's gonna turn 21, and he's. I love the story today. I don't know where I saw it on the internet, but Jeff Ross, he wants to be roasted on Comedy Central, and they're gonna let him have it. And Jeff Ross said today, he said, "Yeah, he had that little confessional. That's all cool, man. You go ahead and do whatever you want, and try to play Goody Two Shoes and spin the 180 on us." Because you're going to be 21 and you want to turn over a new leaf, stay out of, you know, the big house and behave thyself and have a career for another 20 years. But you want to be roasted on Comedy Central, we're going to roast your ass. So stand by for that. It's going to be great. But, I mean, it's really outrageous. As that internet dude, creep, was saying that Justin is ending the end of the world in such a horrible influence. Now he was just a teenager, pretty much out of control. And whether he turns around in his 20s or not, I don't know. But can't wait for the roast. One other thing here before I leave. And, you know, I think this is the saddest story. Bobby Christina, the daughter of Whitney Houston, has been moved to another hospital to get the best neurological treatment available in the area in Atlanta, according to TMZ. And now there's this bitter family drama going on. Family sources tell TMZ Bobby Christina is at Emory University Hospital in Atlanta, which is considered to be one of the top facilities. But they found her face down in the bathtub Saturday. And there's a feud going on between the families of Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown. We're told the bickering goes back and forth to the access part of the hospital and where Christina's receiving the treatment. It's just like, wow, just say a prayer for that girl. All right, have a good night, and thank you for listening. We'll make more of The Drex Show tomorrow night.